Breaking news.
And this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Bada, bada boom, sold.
Huh?
Just sold my car on Carvana. Dropping it off and getting paid today.
Already?
What, you still haven't sold yours? You told me about it months ago. Is the offer good?
Oh, the offer's great.
Don't have another car yet?
I could trade it in for this car I love.
Come on, what are we waiting for?
Ah, you're right.
Let's go.
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, NG Nation, you are under the Gold Dome with Todd Light, Pat Terrell, Tony Rice, Wes Pritchett, Frank Stams. Raw and unfiltered, found everywhere you find your favorite podcast. Talking ND football, past and present. You know, a little bio on all five of us real quick. We all played together on that 88 national championship team. Notre Dame's last champ. We're part of the – we're the last champions of a proud tradition of Notre Dame football. And it is week three of our podcast, brand new. And last week, we previewed a little bit of the South Carolina game Notre Dame had in the Gator Bowl, the fourth time the two teams had met. Notre Dame now holds the advantage 4-1. We were actually, some of us, Wes and I, played on the last meeting between the two of them in 1984, which South Carolina won. But we want to talk about that tonight. We want to talk about, you know, what recruiting and the porthole portal's looking like. We're going to talk a little bit about the two college football playoff games and how TCU stacks up against Georgia, and then we'll finish with our pick on that. So, fellas, quickly, you know, it's the we were touching on it before, you know, we went to tape. Is you know, the tragic event that happened on primetime Monday night. The Bills were visiting Cincinnati. I think it was either early in the second quarter or late in the first. And just your thoughts on, you know, what happened to the Pittsburgh, you know, when I say Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh player, the Buffalo Bills, I think, defensive back, Hamlin. Just your thoughts quickly on that.
Yeah, real quick, I'll start. I got the opportunity to meet Damar Hamlin as a recruiter for the University of Notre Dame while he was at Pittsburgh Catholic Central. He played corner at the time, a little bit of safety, was a four-star recruit, you know, really, really sought after throughout the entire country. Got an opportunity to meet him. Wonderful young man, comes from a great family, got really close with his parents. You know, they're a wonderful family. They own a nursery where they take care of everyone's kids when they go to work, and just a great group of people. And I think that, you know, the thing that stands out with me with Damar was that, you know, through his Chasing the M's Foundation, he did such a great job of giving back to the community of not only Pittsburgh, but Buffalo. He was a young man who was very other-centered, you know, cared a lot about the community, and especially the youth, held camps both in Pittsburgh and Buffalo, and really made a positive impact on both of those communities. So, you know, obviously the situation was very, very tragic. I think the NFL did a great job of calling the game because, you know, the emotional state of the players on both sides of the ball, it would have been too tough to resume NFL play at a high level, dealing with that traumatic experience for all those players and all those coaching staffs and even the fans, everyone involved. I mean, it was such a tragic event, and I think they did the right thing by calling the game.
You know, I want to add to that. Hey, what's up, fellas? It's Pat. So I'm a little late. You know, we've got three guys on this call, Todd, yourself, Frank, if you guys remember back in I think it was 92 season, you know, we played in a game that had a very unfortunate event as well. And that was when Mike Utley, do you remember him?
Yes, I remember that game. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, Todd, you mentioned that it was the right thing to do to cancel that game. I remember vividly, you know, we've all experienced a lot of injuries on the practice field and games. And you know, we all have that Superman patch on our chest thinking it'll never happen to us. And you can deal with those certain things. But when you know something's out of the norm, it affects you. And I think calling the game was certainly the right thing. Because if you guys remember Frank and Todd specifically, I think that was the same game, I think, that Robert Bailey got his finger cut off.
Yes.
And then a few quarters later, Mike Utley was paralyzed. And we knew he was paralyzed. And they continued that game. And I remember talking to the opposition saying, fellas, let's just get through this one. Nobody's heart was in it. It was you know, calling that game was the right thing to do, and I'm really surprised it took them that long to call it. But it was a tragic situation, and our prayers go out to him and his family. He's a great young man.
I say something. I've seen and heard things on TV and the radio about this nice guy. He's done a lot of great things, and no one wants to see a person being injured or getting injured out there. And I didn't go to the league like you guys did, but then my heart is still in it, and I still feel bad for anyone who gets injured or, you know, not able to play because of something that it was out of his control. And that's one thing we always think about, that, like you said before, Pat, that we wear our hearts on our sleeve. We got to ask, nothing can ever happen to us, but you never know until that time comes. You're always one play away from being critically injured or a broken finger or out of the game, period, in this case. So, you know, I feel bad, and I'm very, you know, I'm very happy to hear things on television, things on the radio about what a great guy this guy is. And I really applaud him and his family. I wish him and his family the best, and I hope he gets through this.
Yeah, I'll just jump in real quick too. I mean, I was watching it live, and it was surreal. And as I said about the condition that they as I of it, I was going to try to my computer's not working. Apparently, it's people if you get hit in the chest, it's certain like or something beat up your heart, and it's a thing. And my first response when I read that was, I can't believe this doesn't happen more. You know, as hard as we get hit and as much as any kids that are playing sport or football. But anyway, it was terrible to see. And it was, you know, it was, you could see the emotion immediately of all the players. And, you know, I thought the NFL handled it well. I mean, I think they didn't know what to do at first. Somebody came on and said, you know, we're going to talk and we're going to give them 10 minutes. And then they decide the head coaches went out to the center, met on the field. And I think they said a little more, and then they just delayed it. It was the right thing to do, but sad to see. I mean, look, football, like I think that, you know, the thing is, we all know this, football's great. And we're all competitors and we achieve at a high level, but when you realize what's important life and this was,
just to build on what everybody's saying is, you know, I think the players knew right away when they were giving them CPR. I mean, the players are right there. They see what's going on. And the moment you start giving somebody CPR, you know, it's a life-threatening situation. You're trying to save somebody's life. And credit to the safety personnel that was there. They did save that kid's life. And just tragic. I'm surprised. I think somebody said, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more. I think that was you, Wes. I am too. You know, Pat, you talked about Mike Utley. We saw that. And, you know, that's life-threatening. I'll never forget how that happened was Tracy Rocker was rushing. We saw this the next day on film. And it was just sickening to see him just go limp and face down into the turf. Tracy Rocker went to swim and he missed his shoulder and hit, caught him on the back of the head. And while Utley had his head lowered a little bit and just, you know, I don't know, you know, whether he snapped his neck or not, but he was paralyzed. And then you talk about Robert Bailey. And I remember after that, they sent Robert Bailey, and I'll never forget this. He comes off the field and he says, there's something wrong with my finger. And of course the trainer is saying, yeah, whatever. But then the trainer later on, it was Jim, I forget Jim's last name, but he says,
Jim Russ.
That was Notre Dame. You talk about the Rams, Jim Anderson. Yeah. Jim Russ. We got to tell some Jim Russ stories, man.
Absolutely.
But Jim said, I knew something was wrong when I was pulling his glove off and the fingertip was coming with it. And he'd severed his finger in the guy's face mask. And you know, the humorous thing on this is they sent Robert to one hospital and they sent his finger to the other. That's a true story. I'm a little bit more critical of the NFL. I think the on-site personnel there handled it great. I think the NFL was woefully underprepared for this. I don't know why, but they did the right thing in calling it. I think they were waiting to see whether he was going to survive or not. And certainly you don't play that game if he does pass away. And they did the right thing by not playing the game when they didn't know. And when it was prolonged, they said, we can't do this. I think both coaches gave him their input and said, no, this can't happen. Our players do not want to play this game, and rightfully so. I thought, you know, afterwards, you know, they should have just cut away right then and there to other programming rather than having people up there talking about things they didn't know. If anything, get a doctor on there. Talk about, you have a doctor. I heard this expert talk yesterday. Good. He said, talked about, you know, AFib. He went into AFib, and that's why, and this is the first I understand this. I always knew about the defibrillator, but the defibrillator is to take you out of AFib. And, our hearts and our thoughts and prayers go out to the family and wish the guy a speedy recovery. And Pat or Todd, that's incredible. You have that personal connection with him. It truly is a small world, the football community. You know, if I could direct this at Tony, why do you think Notre Dame played better in the second half than they did in the first half?
I'm thinking about it, I thought that we didn't have a chance. Notre Dame did not have a chance to win because of how we started off. And I was looking at it more like they're trying to get a feel of what kind of defense or offense they're going to run against, and that we're trying to figure them out. In other words, I think South Carolina should have been trying to figure us out, and we should have stuck to the game plan that we normally had going in, or we played the second half with. I thought we tried, or Notre Dame tried to give the ball away or give the game away to them. And here I am, being from South Carolina, hearing that I have a brother that him and I had a wager on steak dinner on who's going to win because he's a South Carolina fan instead of being his brother fan. So I just thought that kind of weird. But
damn,
that's me.
Yeah.
Well, bowl games are pretty tricky now. I mean, it wasn't a big bowl game. And I think that's what a challenge is for, the coaching staff to get those guys ready. Actually, believe it or not, my son played in that same bowl game the year before, and the stadium was empty. It was Wake Forest when they played, when he's playing with Wake Forest. But to get the players up for a game like that, you have to go in with a professional attitude. And that really comes with coaching and preparation. You know, I think Marcus is still in the learning curve, and I think we got the right guy. But games like that, it kind of shows you that we just basically out-talented South Carolina to win that game. And because at a certain point, you just got to look across the sidelines and say, hey, look, they don't have the skill set that we do. This game should not be close, and let's just overpower and go win the game. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that South Carolina had some big upsets early in the season, But a bowl game, there's a lot of distractions. It's not a huge game. You don't have your entire roster. But Notre Dame should have won that game handedly. And we did end up winning it. But I think it's because, you know, sometimes Notre Dame can play down to its talent. And that's my opinion.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Todd, being the fourth, you got a great perspective, better than all of us, you know, having coached at Notre Dame. What's your take on that?
You know what? I thought they did really well, to be honest with you. I mean, you go into a bowl game and, you know, two of your best players, Michael Mayer on the offensive side of the bar, is arguably the best offensive player, Isaiah Foskey, defensive end, all-time leading sack leader at the University of Notre Dame. He's not playing. So, you have two players that aren't playing in that bowl game that are arguably the two best players on the team. You know, obviously they got off to a slow start, you know, going down 21-7 in that first quarter. Didn't look good, but I thought that Tommy Rees and Al Golden did a really good job, and obviously Marcus Freeman with his leadership did a great job of making adjustments at halftime. And we were able to outscore them 38-17 in the second half. And, you know, I think the adjustments were really done really, really well. I think the players executed really well. And Pat made a great point. You know, going into those bowl games, when you're not playing for the playoffs or you're not playing for the championship, sometimes it's a little bit hard to get up and execute at a really, really high level. But I think that Coach Freeman did a great job of making the players understand that, you know, having success in the bowl game and having that successful momentum carry to the next season was going to be advantageous for the program. And I think that the kids stood up to the challenge at hand. And I really like the fact that the quarterback, Tyler Buckner, was able to come back from injury and respond the way he did. That's really, really good signs for the University of Notre Dame football program moving forward, having him back and then obviously being successful in the portal.
You know, I think that just to build on everything you guys are saying, I think Tyler Buckner, what do I want to say here? I'm disappointed in some ways, but I'm happy in others. They opened up that game throwing the ball. I think it was the first three plays they threw it twice. Now this is a kid hasn't started in eight games, and to some point, in my opinion, you know, in a bowl game, you know, there really isn't anything at stake, you know, other than you know, maybe recruiting, which is big, don't get me wrong, but there's no national title at stake. What I'm getting at here is it's a chance to build Notre Dame's identity. And this is what I have a problem with, a little bit with Marcus Freeman, where he needs a little bit of, you know, some red ass in him like Lou Holtz had. And those guys need to come out and just punish the shit out of South Carolina like they did in the second half. Right. And they got it in there. And just get a little nastiness with you, you know, where – and I get it. They, you know, they didn't have a couple of their stars, Foskey and Mayer. But, you know, South Carolina was without a ton of players too. And I just think Notre Dame just kind of – you know, it's like the monster that, you know, you don't want to – you'll throw stones at him, and all of a sudden you're going to piss him off, and then he's going to kick the living shit out of you. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like Notre Dame, but they got to start out that way. Someone's got to mess up their hair at the beginning. And I don't know who that person is, whether it's from within the team or the head coach or whatever, but they got to start getting that identity, because I think a lot of other teams at the top, they kind of have that swagger, that identity. We certainly know a team very well when we played that had a lot of swagger, and we weren't able to overcome that until the talent showed up, and Todd and Pat and Tony, You know, Wes and I, you know, we had the toughness, but we didn't know how to win like you guys. You know, we needed some talent. We had toughness, but no talent. And you know,
now we also needed a coach.
Yeah, that always helps. You know, yeah, Holtz, that was the thing. He never backed down from anybody. But I guess you guys are getting my point. I love the way they finished it, and I hope they build on that going forward. Recruiting, you know, where are we in the recruiting game right now? And if you guys got to, you know, we missed the perfect opportunity last time not to talk about our recruiting trip. I think some of you did, but, you know, just your whole thoughts on recruiting and what it was, maybe, you know, quick story on what it was like for you.
What about this right here?
There you go.
Frank, if you look at what they have coming next year, they got the quarterback from Wake Forest coming to Notre Dame. And he's more of a passing quarterback. And he's broken some ACC records as many yards. So, huh?
For touchdowns.
Well, hey, he's throwing the ball downfield. Maybe that's what we need. You know, instead of running, have a deep, instead of trying to run the ball all the time, because the quarterbacks are not durable like we used to be back in the day. They would go down pretty fast. So having a quarterback that is able to get the ball downfield, complete passes, and let the fact they're not going to run it, which he'll run it down to the 1 yard line. But that's one of the things I think that this portal that they have coming up, that this guy is going to come in and be a big impact for Notre Dame on the passing side of it.
Yeah. I think if you look at all the elite programs, and even, you know, they throw the ball down the field. I mean, I think maybe Georgia, you know, Stetson Bennett was a walk-on, but they throw the ball vertically. It's always, you know, to me, it seems like Notre Dame is so predictable, and you get, you know, the good teams play eight guys in the box and, you know, force us to kind of throw over the top, which we don't do a great job of. So I agree with you, Tony. I think that, you know, this, to have an experienced guy that's got 2, 3, 4 years of starting quarterback in the ACC, he broke the record for touchdowns in a career, I think, passes. I mean, he's big. I thought that, in my opinion, we haven't had an elite quarterback since Brady Quinn. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we've struggled, I think, Ian Book was good, but he wasn't, I don't know that he was elite.
You only said that about Brady Quinn because you and Brady Quinn are friends now. You guys are friends. You guys are Facebook friends.
We're besties, Frank. We're models. We model together. He and I model together. I got to tell you a story about my recruiting trip real quick.
Please.
So I go on my recruiting trip. I've never been north in North Carolina. I get up to South Bend. It's freaking like 1 degree. I'd never seen snow on the ground. It's like, you know how it is up there in January. I mean, there's like 4 feet of snow on the ground. Mike Kowaleski is my host. The first thing we do is go to a room, and it's Wally Klein, Sean Heffern, Mike Perino. It's like the biggest human beings I have ever seen in my life. It was like walking around, like I felt like Jack and the Beanstalk or something like that. I mean, these guys, I've never seen people that big in my life. And I remember coming home and thinking to myself, well, I can't go to Notre Dame. Shit, I can't play. Like, this is the biggest freaks I've ever seen in my life. I also ended up, unfortunately, pulling a fire alarm on my visit in a dorm room.
Nice. Oh,
yeah. I love that. And so I was on probation before I got to school there.
Nice. That's got to be some sort of record. I think you and
I was the only guy to ever enroll on probation with student affairs.
That's classic. I love it.
What was that guy's name from student affairs? Goldrick
or something like that. He told me when I graduated that I should give a piece of my diploma to him.
Did you go see Mike DeChico as well?
No, DeChico was on our side. He was an ally.
Yeah. Mostly was an ally. But, Pat, what do you think? I mean, on recruiting, where is you know, what do you think, you know, what do you think Notre Dame needs to do? I mean, it's a fair knock, in my opinion, that, you know, they haven't had an elite quarterback in a while. I mean, is that the cure for maybe getting back into the playoff?
You know, I had the opportunity to watch Sam Hartman quite a bit, and he's a good quarterback. And the fact that he's older, he's mature, he's going to put the ball downfield, and he's not going to make a lot of mistakes. The guy doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. He's a smart quarterback, and he's a good guy. He's a real good guy. We need a crazy Heisman Trophy candidate who's an athlete that can throw the ball down the field, they can run the ball. We need our cake and eat it too. It's Notre Dame. And we haven't had that in quite a long time. And so, and I don't know, things have changed. We're talking about our recruiting visits. I'm kind of scared to talk about mine because I want to make sure that we get recruits into Notre Dame. But we've got to come up with some money to get these cats that we need. I mean, you look at USC's quarterback, Alabama's quarterback. These guys are athletes that can throw the ball and you know, dual threats. And I think that's what you need. Sam Hartman is
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows a resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
He fits the mold of what we're trying to do right now with the type of quarterback we have on our roster, but I don't think that's the formula. And I like Sam, you know, so I don't want to talk bad about him, but I just think we have to go after that five-star athlete, give him the money he wants, just like they do in the NFL, to get somebody in here that is a Heisman candidate his sophomore year. And we can do that because we're a big enough name. We're on national television. We just got to have, you know, Frank and Brady Quinn come up with that loot to get these guys.
I got some interesting intel on that.
I'll help out.
Yeah, we'll get to that at some point.
But Todd, my visit was towards West. I'm from Florida. First time I really saw snow. And it was kind of funny because my first visit was to Minnesota. And because they were recruiting this other court, because they had Ricky Foggy was
man, he was a good player.
Yeah, was it Ricky Foggy, Tony?
Of course, yeah.
Ricky Foggy recruiting me, not T. Rice, to replace Ricky Foggy. So I took my trip up to Minnesota, and the only reason I went was because Lou was such a good recruiter. I just wanted him to kind of leave me alone, and I'd never been to Minnesota. I'll take the trip. So I go up to, I know fucking Notre Dame, but I go to Minnesota, and I remember meeting George Stewart and Vinny Serrato, and it was strange because they kept saying, you know, next to Notre Dame, you want to be a Golden Gopher. And I'm like, you know, I didn't even like the sound of the, you know, the mascot, but, you know, okay. They keep comparing it to Notre Dame, and I've been getting recruited from Jerry Faust, but I'm from Florida, so that, you know, that kind of went right in the garbage can because I used to watch you guys get creamed by Miami. So I'm really looking at Notre Dame that hard, but I took my trip, and then so when Lou took the job with Notre Dame, he called me up and he asked me, his first question was, are you getting recruited by Notre Dame? And I said, yeah, Jerry Faust. And he was like, good, because I guess he signed some kind of NDA or something, or he wouldn't, you know, take his recruits. And so they started recruiting me. And then I took my trip up there. It was cold. And Tim Brown and Mark Green were my host, and they were full of excuses. They said, it's exam weekend. There's really not much going on. And we went to Beacon Bowl, and Beacon Bowl is a bowling alley, of course. And, you know, I was looking for the game
again. Beacon Bowl. Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember Beacon Bowl. It right across the Indiana line where you could drink beer up there? It was like 18 up there.
It was Shula. To South Bend, you know, I was kind of offended a little bit because I was getting kind of my head blown up as a recruit. And I remember a GA picked me up and asked me what my name was. And I was like, you don't know who I am? I mean And so I got into his car, and he drove me, and we went straight to, I think, you know, I like airplanes and engineering, so we went and met an engineering professor and all this academic stuff, and I'm like, oh, my God.
You tell the people, I like airplanes. Yeah. And you tell the GA, you said, don't you know who I am? That's funny. Todd, we ain't going to ask you about your recruiting trip because it's legendary that it sucked. So what about the quarterback situation? Oh, you got another thing to say, Pat? Go ahead.
No, to finish this situation. You know what I mean? I got there and I quickly realized that, you know, this is a powerhouse. You're going to get the best education. And the fellas that were there were going places. And I knew that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted to do. And that's what I needed to do. And so that was my recruiting visit, and I was second. I was offended also because they didn't let me in the senior bar. Me and Braxton.
Well, all of us in Indy Nation is grateful you chose Notre Dame. That's for sure. Todd, what about the quarterback situation? What do we need?
You know what? We need a dynamic playmaker. You know, when you think about, you know, the really, really talented quarterbacks in the league. And that's what we need. And we need a guy that can go not only have success.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
At the collegiate level, but the one that's going to go to a program in the college, into the pros, and make that transition, and it'd be flawless. You know, we need the guy that can, like we were talking about early, pressing the ball down the field, stretching the field vertically. Accuracy is obviously, you know, key to success for the quarterback position, but we also need a guy that can extend plays. I mean, obviously we have a great offensive line. Coach Harry Heistand does a great job of coaching the guys up and making sure that we protect in the pocket and we're not getting our quarterback killed like some other programs where they're dropping back and, you know, only trying to protect with five. I think that we need a guy that can move in the pocket, make all the throws on the run, and also when he needs to, tuck it, run, and extend plays like Tony Rice can. But, you know, for me, like when I was playing in the league, one of the most difficult quarterbacks to defend was Steve Young. And a lot of people, you know, who studied the game of football understand how great of a quarterback Steve Young was because of his dual threat ability, like Lamar Jackson and these guys that are in the league now, and how they're moving to these mobile quarterbacks that give defensive nightmares because the defensive line and the pressure packages are so good now. You need a guy at that position that can really, you know, win the down on his own, play in and play out.
You know, I whether it's Joe Montana or Tony Rice, and you know, I think in those two national championships, and what I'm getting at is you know, Todd, what you're saying, Pat, what you're saying is, you know, we're all talking about, you know, to me, the definition of a quarterback is when the play breaks down, he's got to make a play. And Tony and Montana did that. And that's what you're talking about, Pat, is you know, being dynamic, or Todd, is you just got to be able to make a freaking play. And, you know, when the chips are down, like that, you know, the guy did from SC against us. I mean, you know, he's not as consistent, I think, as you'd want your quarterback. But you know, that playmaking ability at quarterback, it just needs to be there, and you know, limit the mistakes. I think I got a unique, I don't know how, if it's funny or not, but recruiting story. So you know, I want to take my five visits. Hell, Mississippi called, wanted me to take a sixth visit. They had girls calling me. They had girls calling me at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night saying, "Hey, Frank, why don't you come on down?" And I'm thinking, man, this is freaking too much, man. I had to take cold showers for like a week, you know. I wanted to go down there so bad. And the guy says, "Listen, we'll get the plane up there. We'll put you on it. Nobody needs to know." Because there was a local tire dealer here that was a big Mississippi guy. And I said, "Nah, I can't do it." But so that's near the end of my recruiting. My first visit was Notre Dame. My last visit was Ohio State, because I wanted to rock out there, down there with all my buddies that were down there that I knew and graduated a year ahead of me. So Jerry needs a good recruiting class, and he feels that if he gets me, you know, it can be bearable. You know, you go. And so I'm in class, high school. I'm in class. I'm scheduled to meet with Glenn Mason. And if you guys remember Glenn, he was offensive line coach at Ohio State, later became a head coach a few places, Kansas and I think Minnesota. And I'm supposed to meet with him right after class, after school. And so Jerry flies in, and I get a note from the office that says, "Hey, Coach Faust is on a limited schedule. He needs to meet with you. And, you know, can you meet with him?" So now Faust puts me in a bad position. I got to bump Glenn Mason back and go to Mason and say, "Hey, can I bump you back an hour?" You know, high school kid. And I go to Mason. He says, "Yeah, no problem. I don't care." So Faust comes in. We meet in the athletic director's offices, one side of the gym, and Mason's on the other side of the gym waiting for me. And Faust comes in, and Faust starts putting the full court press on me, asking me, you know, where are you? And I said, "Well, you know, right now I want to take my fifth visit, you know, and I want to go to Ohio State. I want to enjoy this time of my life." And he says, "Well, where do we stand?" I said, "Coach, if, you know, I had to make a decision today, I'd go to Notre Dame." And then he starts pounding the table. He says, "Well, he starts calling me unethical and saying, no, that's not right. Then you're going to Ohio State." I said, What? He starts calling, he's recruiting me, and he's calling me unethical and immoral. And he says, "That's not right for you to do that." He said, "You need to come in with it." And I'm thinking to myself, are you freaking kidding me? And he just gets irate with me. He gets so pissed, he ends up storming out of the office. And then he sees Mason across the gym, and he starts wagging his finger at Mason, saying, "I know what you're doing, and I'm going to tell your boss." Well, Mason, that's all he needed. He's had a short fuse to begin with. He comes racing across the gym, and they get nose to nose, and they're spitting in each other's face, yelling at each other. And I walk out of the office, and I'm looking at these two guys spitting at each other, yelling at each other. And I'm thinking to myself, you got to be freaking kidding me. So I went to Ohio State, had a great time. But then I signed with Notre Dame, and it was a great decision. You know, at that time, Ohio State, Earl Bruce was the head coach. They were, you know, they were average. And of course, you know, the rest of the story. Andy Nation, you're listening to Under the Golden Dome podcast with Frank Stams, Wes Pritchett, Todd Light, Pat Terrell, and Tony Rice, former members of the 1988 National Championship, the last champions at Notre Dame. Our podcast is raw and unfiltered, found everywhere where you find your favorite podcast. All right, guys, what do we want to do next? Let's break down a little bit of that college football playoff. What did you guys think between the matchup with, you know, how did Ohio State play Georgia? They were, you know, not expected to win that game. It was a lot closer than people thought. And then, of course, the upset of all, in my opinion, I don't know how that happened, Michigan TCU.
Great football.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I'm good.
Pat, go ahead. What do you think?
You know what? I tell you that, you know, we were talking about Notre Dame a little bit and why it was important that they had a good performance, you know, down there in Tallahassee. You know, Chris Borich was on a group text, and after the game, he made a comment. He said, okay, now it's time to watch some real football. And that's why it's important for us to perform on a high level in bowl games, just for recruiting purposes also. But I tell you, it was good football. It was, you know, I really enjoyed the Georgia game. You know, it's just a great, great lesson for players to never quit. Anything can happen in any moment. And they hung in there. And, you know, it was fun just being a fan, not a coach or not a player, but just watching the game and enjoying that the game still has so much to offer.
Wes, what say you?
Well, I made the comment afterwards. I mean, you know, we've been watching CFP now for however many years, 12, how many years has it been going on? 11 years, 10 years?
Yeah.
I thought those are, in my opinion, the best two games that we've had, you know, consecutively for sure. I think the only game that may have been better was the Georgia-Oklahoma game, which I actually attended at the Rose Bowl. That was the damnedest game I've ever – that was a phenomenal football game, but – I thought they were, you know, I thought TCU is just one of those teams. They might just be a team of destiny. You know, they've won, they call them the cardiac kids. They've won a bunch of games that they were behind until the very end. You know, and you know how that goes. You start believing in yourself. And they've got some talent. I can tell you that. They have more talent than I thought they did, because Michigan's really good this year.
Yeah.
And as much as that pains me to say. But I thought, I mean, TCU's defense flew around. I thought they confused Michigan. They got two pick sixes. They must have a hell of a coaching staff, you know, because there was something that I saw that was comparing the four teams in the playoff, how many 3-star, 4-stars, and 5-stars. And of course, TCU has the lowest amount of 4 and 5 stars and mostly 3-stars, but so they're coaching guys up there. They're not leaving. The coaches are working. Kids are getting better. It's a little bit old school. You know, everybody counted them out. And I think the quarterback is a hell of a player. I thought that kid's scrappy. He's a fighter. He made plays consistently. That was just a hell of a football game. I'm glad TCU, you know, pulled it out. Michigan was probably the better team, but, you know, they threw two pick sixes and couldn't make up for it at the end. And then the Georgia game. What can you say about that game? I truly, you know, I
who were you rooting for in that game, Wes? Who were you rooting for in that game?
Unfortunately, Georgia. I can't pull for. I think I hate Ohio State as much as Michigan. You know, I mean,
I'm a
very good. I think for the first 2 years at Notre Dame, all Wes said is, "I should have gone to Georgia. I should have went to Georgia. I should have went to Georgia."
Yeah, until 1988, I didn't say that anymore.
Right. No,
he got me. Yeah. He said that so much. I was beginning to think I should have went to Georgia.
Yeah, well, we should have partied at Georgia, but I think we wanted to graduate from Notre Dame. I was very conflicted.
I thought,
you know, I mean, I grew up in Atlanta. I've watched the Dogs all along. They've been very good. I think a couple of things out of that Ohio State game. One, I think Ohio State's better than I thought they were. The quarterback played a great game. They had a great game plan. And Georgia looked beatable. You know, Georgia was – it was amazing how they hung in there. I don't know how they won that game. It's just one of those things where they've learned how to win. But I think they exposed their weakness. I mean, I think their secondary is not that good. And I think TCU will challenge them down the field. That number one for TCU – I forget the guy's name, the big wide receiver that was just unstoppable, runs a 4.4, is like 6.4. That cat is going to create problems.
Todd, that might be a good matchup.
I think it's going to be a great game.
That might be a good matchup, what Wes is talking about. Passing game versus Georgia's secondary.
Yeah, for sure. When you talk about, you know, the playmakers that TCU has, I mean, they got guys all across the boards that can make plays and are great with the run after the catch. I think that Dugan – you know, is very deceptive with his speed. You know, he's a bigger quarterback. He doesn't really look that fast, but when he takes off running, you know, he's kind of like Josh Allen, where, you know, he has some speed and momentum behind him, and he's a tough tackle. I like the way he stands in the pocket. I like the way he delivers the ball down the field. And Wes made a great point. You know, Georgia did show some flaws in the secondary where they were throwing the ball downfield and the DBs were getting some pass interference calls. And, you know, they were getting into situations where they were not in phase and able to make plays on the ball down the field. And, you know, Georgia's really known for their defense. But I think what makes Georgia go is that front seven. And I think if you're going to beat Georgia, you have to win on the perimeter, right? And then you have to be stingy on defense, limiting their explosive plays and making Stetson Bennett, you know, push the ball down the field, but at the same time, make it check it down, make him check it down, and then hopefully that you could tackle and get off on third down and create more opportunities for your offense. But, you know, going into that game, you know, TCU, Michigan, I didn't think TCU had a chance. I really didn't, you know, because when you look at the recruiting
class, I didn't either.
When you look at the recruiting classes for the last 2 years, you know, Michigan recruiting classes were much more dominant than TCU's. TCU's weren't even in the top 10, you know, where Michigan was always in the top 10. But I think that, you know, like you said, the coaching staff has done a great job at getting, you know, developing players. Those guys have a belief in what they're doing and they're excelling on the field. And I think that, you know, in situations where it gets tough, they always have the belief that they can win the game, which is great. You love to see that. You know, the Georgia Ohio State game, to me personally, that was the championship game. I think those were the two best teams in college football, you know, week in and week out. And I mean, what a battle that was and how Georgia pulled it out. You know, it's a lot of credit to Kirby Smart and what he's doing with that program and having those guys that they can come back and fight through adversity and overcome in any given stance.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Tony, what do you think?
I thought that Michigan thought that they had the game wrapped up. TCU wasn't going to come and play. Like, they're going to throw their jerseys out there. They're going to roll over and play dead. But they came out to perform, and that quarterback guy has so much praise and good to see that he was one of those people that were not really talked about, but at the end of the day, he was talked about as performing what he did against Michigan. So as a total team, they played and now played themselves, and they came in and they had that little swagger like they wanted something. And I think that Michigan took them for granted. Looking at Ohio State, Ohio State, Georgia, I didn't know what to think of that game. I thought that Georgia let up because Georgia has been known to have a tough defense. But Ohio State hung in there. Unfortunately, what happened at the end, I don't know. This guy was the best kicker around for him to shame.
I think he pooped it. I think he pooped his pants before that.
Look at his face. But ready.
Right.
That was a big stage.
Yeah, I was like, hey, you put yourself, play those games to shine. You got that one play. That one play. You got one job. One job only. Kick the damn ball.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'm a little bit more sympathetic to that field goal kicker. I was like, Jesus Christ, how do you put that on the kid? And you know, everything.
Oh, Frank.
What?
One job.
He chose the kicker.
Yeah. No, hey, listen. I get
one job.
No, so that's all I'm going to say on that.
Every day, all day.
I can't talk about the Ohio State. I fell asleep after the first quarter. My wife came in and woke me up about midnight, gave me a kiss, said Happy New Year, and said Ohio State lost by a point. Let me tell you, I watched that TCU game, the whole game, and I was – and Wes may be right. They could be a team of destiny, man. You know, and Michigan was just stunned. Yeah. You know, they tried. But I saw an interesting headline today about Sonny Dykes. I think that's the TCU head coach's name, saying that a year ago nobody wanted him, or he was, you know, not really sought after. And I think that's freaking great. That's just great for college football. I think it's going to benefit Notre Dame going. I think in 2024 going to a 12-man playoff, I think that's going to help Notre Dame. I think they can consistently get in the playoff there. And, you know, once you get in the playoff, you never know. You get hot, and, you know, I think that's going to be an advantage. But, you know, getting back, thinking about that point, you guys, they do need to ante up. And I have no money. I spent all my money. I spent half my money on women and booze, and the other half I wasted. I love that saying. It's the greatest saying. They interviewed this.
They interviewed live from Don Robinson.
I love that. They interviewed this soccer player, this Irish soccer player from like 25 years ago. They said, man, over your career, you made $12 million. And this is like in 1989. And he says, well, you know, he goes, I spent half of it on women and booze and the other half I wasted. And I just freaking started. But anyways, so in this game coming up, I don't know. How do you bet against TCU? And I wonder, anybody know the line in that game?
It's 13 and a half.
You're kidding me.
Wow.
Oh, I love TCU.
I teased but, you know, 20 and a half.
Don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, if Georgia comes out and plays their best game and TCU comes out and plays their best game, it may end up a 13 and a half game. I mean, Georgia's just, I think, that much more talented, but TCU, they get a few breaks, and Georgia makes a few mistakes. You never know. That's why you play the game.
I forgot. I wanted to bring up one point, and Tony, maybe you can elaborate on this a little bit more. So the quarterback for TCU going into the season, Dugan, was not the starter. He got beat out.
Really?
The guy that was starting in front of him gets hurt in the first game. Dugan comes in. And he does what he's done now this year and ends up, whatever, a finalist for the Heisman. How about that guy?
Beautiful story.
What a great story he is this year.
You're right. What a great story. There's always a story. There's always a story to tell. And that's going to be the best story ever, that here he is getting beat out. The guy starts and the other guy get hurt. And now he is the star. He goes on to be a Heisman Trophy candidate and about to win the national championship.
Wow. Right.
That is one of the best stories ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, fellas, good show tonight. Let's go around the horn and get a pick. We're up against the hour. Let's go around and get a pick on the national championship game, and then we'll sign off. I'll go first. I know TCU, is that the TCU, the sentimental favorite, but I got to go with Georgia, given the 13 and a half.
Okay. I'm going with the change. There needs to be a change in the system. Georgia's been on the profile, the timeline for the longest. It's time for a new champion. So I say TCU.
I'm with Tony. I think I'm rooting for TCU, and I think TCU's defense is strong enough to really impact what Georgia tries to do. I think it's going to be key that the TCU quarterback makes the throws that he has to make. I saw him miss a couple give-me's in the game, and that has my concern.
He made the tough throws.
He made the tough ones, but there was a couple long balls he should have hit. And I'm being picky, but he's going to need to be excellent to beat Georgia. But I'm saying TCU by a touchdown.
I think, you know, going into this game, it's going to be a close one. But I like Georgia. I think Kirby Smart's going to do a really good job of protecting the secondary. I think they're going to play a lot of split safety, combination coverages on third down. They're going to spy Dugan. And I like the athleticism of Georgia's linebacker over the athleticism of TCU's quarterback. And I think that's going to be the difference in the game. I got Georgia for the win.
I like it. Well, I think I'm with Pat. I'm going to be pulling for TCU, but I think the Dogs are going to be a lot to handle. They've got superior athletes, and don't kid yourself, Kirby Smart. Frank, you were talking about a little fire. Kirby Smart is not afraid of bringing some fire. That guy is intense. He will have them ready to play. I do not think Georgia has a letdown going into that game. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. I love what Todd said about the way they're going to defend it. I was uber impressed with number one on TCU. I don't see how Georgia's going to guard that guy. If it was me, I'd be throwing him jump balls all day long. So I hope they keep it close. And, you know, I think Georgia wins by a field goal or a touchdown.
Good show, fellas. Hey, one last thing. You know, maybe this will be something we do on our show. Anybody got anything they want to throw out real quick? We can talk about the last 5 minutes. Anybody they want to recognize? Any shout-outs? I hope you guys all had a great holiday season. Anything you want to mention, a charity or anything like that? Any blanket denial that you want to make on any past crimes in your life?
No, just once again, I want to hit on the fact that, you know, I wish everybody would send prayers and well wishes to Damar Hamlin and his family out there in Pittsburgh. You know, obviously, you know, the NFL and NCAA football is in one big brotherhood. And, you know, we need to watch out and take care of one another. And, you know, everyone needs to send out prayers to him. And hopefully that he's able to pull through this with a full recovery.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you, ND Nation, for listening to week 3 of Under the Golden Dome podcast, raw and unfiltered, found everywhere where you find your favorite podcast. Thanks, fellas. Great show tonight. And let's do it again next week.
Absolutely.
Peace, guys.
All right, gentlemen. Peace. Yeah.
Love you now.
Peace. Love you, guys.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.